Catherine was with us in Pullman as we celebrated together at Living Faith Fellowship, and I remember hearing this report that she met some guy from Italy whose name was Paolo. What? What was that? Paolo. And then he came over, and we fell in love with this guy right away. And you were in Pullman together for how many years?
19 years.
19 years. And he started off, like many of us, with dark hair. And now you see he's wearing a gray toupee. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Let's welcome Paolo Tolini before I get in more trouble.
Oh, goodness.
I'm sneaking up here for a second.
Oh, we're so glad.
Yes, yes.
Just want to share how precious you guys are to our heart and how special it is to be here with you. And in May, when we were here, we didn't know we'd be back so soon. So we're really excited that Miranda and Nathan got married, so we got to be back here too. So you're very precious to us and to the church, and we really thank you for your love and your support. This year has been good. We've had a lot of young people come in, and I think we might have shared that Kiara's best friend, after 4 years of prayer, came in and is just on fire and thinks everybody needs to know Jesus, so she's just out there in evangelism. And we've had several young college students come in, and now it looks like God's opening some doors to maybe people our age. So we'll find out what it's like to be back on the front line. So it's exciting. So thank you very much for your prayers. God's good.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I was in Pullman. I came in Pullman from the ship. You know, they thought I was lost at sea. And they were wondering, are you sure that man's going to come back? My wife, a woman of great faith, she said, yes, I know in my heart. The reality, be known. My monthly paycheck was going directly to the bank, and she knew that. She knew the sincerity of my love toward her. I really truly loved her. I wouldn't say from the first moment, because the first moment wasn't true, but as soon as I began to know the joy that God put in her heart. I wasn't a man of joy. I was not. And I must say, God made me a man of joy. And I'm very glad. I'm very glad of that. I enjoy today worship. I do enjoy very much worship. And I remember when we left for Rome, Pastor Kev had a prophecy. And he said to send praise forth. You do not forget the worship. Your God. And you know, I was thinking about, honestly, I truly believe it. If worship would be in our life like was today, every day, if we would worship with those words, with that song, with that spirit, all the preachers, including you and me, would be out of job. Amen. There wouldn't be need. There would not be need for a preacher if a person individually go before God in worship and realize, my goodness, He gave His everything for me. He loves me. He thought before I could think what I need. If we really come to the realization of that, and we are every day before Him in worship with that sincerity, and being that it's a Gregorian chant of country song or contemporary Christian music, I don't care if you are going before our God with the other worship. Man, tell you, there is no other place where I'd rather be than the house of the Lord worshiping. Put the worship in front of me, and I can look at my God, be in His presence, and I'm exactly where I want to be. I'm a simple person on that, but you know what? I enjoy it. I enjoy keeping that way. I was reading, in fact, this morning, there is a devotional that I read every day. It is Oswald Chamber, My Utmost for His Highest. I love it because that man just take a verse and kind of shaboom, put it in front of your face. And he asks you, and what about you? What about you with this? And you can't avoid it, you know, it's there before you. You open the page and boom, and there it confronts you. I like that. I like honestly be challenged in my walk with Christ. And, you know, and the people of our church know that. Because, fortunately, what I live in God, I want to pass it on to people. And if he is confronting with his word, if he confronts me with his word, I bring the word to the people. I do, because I think we need to dig in deep in the Lord, in our relationship with God. And I think that's the essence of what we were made, is to be near Him. You know, today verse that was looking is one of the saddest to me in the Bible. It's when Exodus 20:19, the people said to Moses, "You go up to the mountain. We will talk to you, but we don't want to be before God." Oh my goodness. And you know, and I could say, I understand. I understand because you see God in His face and you probably are vaporized. I don't know. But you know what? I want to be vaporized. Yeah, if that's what it takes. I don't really care. I mean, for the joy of to be in His presence. And that's one of the verse that hurts me the most when I read the Bible. You, Moses, go up. We will listen to you. I wish the people in my church wouldn't listen to me. I wish the people in my church, in our church, would listen to God Himself. Yeah. To the Holy Spirit. Every single day. I really do. And I pray for you the same things. I pray for you the same things because, man, it's that personal relationship with God. That Christ opened the door. I mean, the word that we sung today is blood washed us clean. The prophecy that there was is blood made it possible to come into His presence. Man, I tell people in Italy where they look in other intercessor except beside Jesus, and I said, I wonder what he thinks. You know, he came to you so you can talk to him, and now you talk to someone else to tell him about you. Whew, cringe at that. But anyway, I wanna praise God. I wanna praise God for being here today. I really do. And let's take a moment. Let's take a moment to pray to Him. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we are grateful because, yes, you save us. You brought your salvation to us. But Lord, even more so, we are grateful because we live that salvation every day. Lord, we live that salvation and we taste of that every time we come to you in worship, Lord. Lord, every time we open the word, we taste and see how good you are to us, Lord. Lord, you're so good. You are so good. And we are so grateful. Lord, we pray. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, anointing, will anoint this word, Lord. Will anoint the teaching, Lord. But not for the sake of the teaching, but for the sake of your word. Lord, that you be magnified. Lord, will you be glorified in everything that is said today, Lord. That we might get to know you more intimately. Lord, that we may get to walk with you. We may see you face to face, no matter what that entails, Lord. Because you are a jealous God, and we are a people in love with you, Lord, because of your love given to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. This was nothing to do with the preaching. Okay, just sorry, but I will watch the watch. That's what my wife always tells me. I watch the watch. Yes, oh, I watch a clock. In fact, oh yeah, there is a clock. I guess in any church you go, that the preacher. Huh? It's not just only me. I guess. Okay, I will remember that. I will look at that. I want to bring to you reading from the church in Rome, and I said. The other church in Rome, you know, the one that counts. <You know? laughs> No, well, I'm sorry. And the greeting, because I don't know, I this is something beautiful, the kingdom of God. I see Jay Becker at the word today, and he doesn't know this, and please don't tell him, okay? I'm one of that, he gets a little too, you know. When we are in the kingdom of God, each one of us receive something that at some time we don't even know that we have it. We really sometimes don't know. We walk not realizing that God has given us something. And someone from the outside sees us and say, oh my goodness, there is that quality that God is telling me to go after is in that person. And I'm not going to tell you the quality, but, you know, one day I remember I pressed into God for something that He is in the Word, that He said that is precious to Him, and He gave me two persons to look, not to imitate. It isn't just a matter of imitating. It's just a matter of glean from the heart, of the characteristic, of the gift that God within that person. Jay was one of those two. I'm not going to tell you what it's all about. Okay, I'm not. But let's be aware of that. Let's be I heard some sharing even today. You know, going in a nursing home, sharing what we have. Sharing what God has given to us.
That's right.
Being, you know, I bet that being part of a country band is not a desire. Where are you? Oh, Pete? Oh, okay. Oh, there you are. Okay. I believe strongly, we don't know each other, but I believe that it's not just a matter of music. It's a matter of taking what God has given you, put in your heart, and give it out to others. I really believe that. I believe it because you see when a person is worshiping or when a person is singing. Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
But so I'm reading from the church in Rome, and I must say that my wife shared, there has been a growth in the church this year, a growth both in number and in depth, foundation. And that to me is very important. I think as we set our foundation, our roots in Christ, then we can walk the whole life, not just, you know, run for 15 minutes and then crash, you know. And I'm talking to a crowd that you know what it means to walk or run the long run. You know, it's life. It's, like I said, if I get the privilege to be before God, poof, I'll be vaporized, no problem. But if I don't, there is still a long walk before me. I don't know how many years, but I know it's a long walk. And I want to live it with that passion that God has put in my heart. And with the awareness that He gave me something to give. And I pray that you too feel that way. Because if you don't know it, when I came here in May, God had put a seed in my heart, which I was not aware of, and which I did not expect it, and which, in reality, you were, I don't know, the perpetrator? I don't know. You deposit the seed. You deposit the seed. I'm just joking, you know, using that term. And you deposit the seed in my heart. Because I was never challenged, and I like the challenge that God brings in our heart. I was never challenged in a direction of ministry. When we went to Rome, we felt we were going there for the people. And God opened door to younger people, most of them unchurched. I say people that call themselves atheists. people that never even heard. I know to you sounds strange that people in Rome may have not heard of Jesus Christ, but it's not that strange. I mean, people, maybe I share with you, but I met a person one time that said, "Is Jesus Christ?" "Oh, yes, you know, I am Catholic," he told me, just to say, please, you know, be aware, I cannot be of your religion. I'm Catholic. And he said, "Okay, I just want to share with you about Jesus Christ." And he said, "Oh, Jesus Christ, wasn't he the one that was in the belly of the whale for 3 days?
No.
To which I answered, "No, that was Pinocchio." But I'm sorry. I don't want. Hear me. I know I did it. I know Pastor Sherry. But hear me. I'm not making light of the things, okay? I'm not making light. But I really believe that we need to come to God with a simplicity, with a genuine spirit, like we do when we worship. See, I don't think any of us, when we worship God, get lofty or, you know, we just worship Him. We abandon ourselves to Him. And I think we need to face Christianity, walk Christianity every day like that. And so, coming to that seed that He put in my heart, and I found myself before a congregation of, how would you say, a walk of life that was different for me. And man, I took note of it. And, you know, and I thought, I don't know, any of you are to a certain depth. And I was thinking about, my goodness, I walked with the Lord for 30 years. Maybe there are people in this room that have walked with the Lord 60 years. That's a long walk, you know. And I know there is a lot of people in Italy that, for that amount of time, they even worried about walking with God. They're not. Because they thought, well, I know about God, but I never want to see Him face to face. They never try to seek after Him. And that was a seed that was deposited in my heart. And in the last couple of months, really birthed something in it. So that's why I was really excited to come back here. To come back here to share with you this, because it's a, believe me, sincere things. God, I haven't shared with the church in Rome yet. I have not shared with them what the new things that God is putting in as a vision, and new things. You know, sometimes we talk about new things as, never happened. You know, never happened before. Well, it's new to me, but God is constantly doing those things that are needed for us to get close to Him. Okay? I was really encouraged by being here, and that really spurred something in my heart. And I want to share that with you because I want you to be aware of that. I mean, I want you to be aware that in your walk with Jesus every day, you just put a seed here, you put a seed there. You may not even realize it. I mean, I may not even realize it. Francesco, the case, person that came to church for, was that 3 months? 3 months. I'm meeting him after 5 years or 6 years, 7 years, I don't know how long it was. And he said, "Oh, Paolo, I want to thank you." I just expressively came into the restaurant to find me to say, "I want to thank you because today I know the Lord thanks to you." Hallelujah. Amen. And I said, honestly, I share with them, but I thought it was all falling into, you know, the stony ground on the thorn. And my goodness, what a joy. That's to me is a joy. To me is a joy every time that God uses me. Okay? I like it. I like to be used by God, honestly. That's sincere in me. So again, thank you for what you have deposited in my heart. Well, just the Holy Spirit did it, even though you are not aware. But The other day I was in Pullman and talking about the new things that God does. I was in Pullman and I was reading on the Evergreen. The Evergreen is a local campus newspaper. And I was reading about this gal, young gal, communication major, that was sharing about her trip to North Africa and the new things that she was discovering there in terms of food. You know, she was mentioning about eating camel meat, you know. And I was reading this article, of course, in her, which was probably 23 years old, something like that, there was an excitement of the new things that were she was facing, and being a foreign country. And I stopped for a second and I thought, you know, in those 18 years in Pullman, I read probably dozens of articles like that. You know, people, they say, hey, I found a new things, you know, I got a new things. And then I thought, that doesn't sound too new to me, okay? Hopefully I'm 56 years old, you know, having read it many times over that. And I noticed, I don't know if it happens to you, but, you know, there used to be in the end of the 60s, 70s, those show, Jacques Cousteau. I don't know if they were in America too. Okay. Jacques Cousteau about, you know, sea, about marine life. And they were exciting. I really love it. You know, I was very young. Anyway, I loved it. And, you know, throughout the years,
you never do, huh?
Throughout the years, I've seen it many times, those shows. And now, you know, a few times I turn on the TV, I see one of those documentary, and I felt like, oh, yeah, I've seen it, you know. And that kind of this thinking brought to me something to my mind of, is there anything new under the sun? Is there something new under the sun? You know, which immediately brings us to one of the books that in the Bible is, it's kind of a strange book, we will think sometime. Ecclesiastes. You know, is there anything new under the sun? Oh my goodness. No, Solomon, please, don't start that. Don't start that, which becomes kind of a challenge to us. Is there anything new under the sun? And we know very well that Ecclesiastes 1:19, he said, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it might be said, see, this is new? Good question. Probably there is not. Probably it's not. We're talking about with Vern about telecommunication. Yeah, you know, new technology. But in reality, you're still talking to something and someone hearing to something. You know, new technology, but the concept is there. Is there something new in telecommunication? No. It's there. It's one talk and the other listen. And if in my case, and my wife, I talk and she listens all the time. Okay? But anyway, no, I'm actually a good listener, if I have to say. Anyway. There's a new under the sun. Still, I was in Pullman this last few weeks. And I took the opportunity to train a young man on heating, ventilation, air conditioning. I spent many years in that field, and I worked, I would say it was cutting-edge technology when we are working on programming of building control system. And this person wanted to learn more to be able to manage the system there at the church in Pullman. And because, you know, the HVAC system is very sophisticated in terms of control and needs to be programmed to work very well. So I was teaching these things to him. Actually, there were a couple of them. And we start 8 o'clock in the evening. You know, I begin to program, show something about language programming. And all of a sudden, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. Really? All of a sudden it was 1 o'clock in the morning. Why? Is there anything new for me in that? No. But I tell you, as soon that I approached it, just something that was inside of me, sparked out. I mean, I was, first of all, the concept of giving to someone else, what of God, okay? Second, maybe that's why we're on the mission field, you know. Second, man, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. It was inside of me as a passion that for 12 years was, you know, squelched, quenched. Yeah. And when, I couldn't withhold the joy, enjoyment of doing that. And you know, I thought, oh my goodness, it's the same thing when I share about Jesus. My wife knows that. My wife, I lose track of myself when I share about God. When I share, actually, no, I don't want to say when I share about God. When I share about what He has done for me. I mean, His Son on the cross. What is redeeming me? He paid the full price, and I don't have the anxiety to have to run after something in Him. I mean, when I begin to share that, it's just kind of a, whew, something. Just and I like that. And I noticed the same things, you know, while I was doing with HBSC. And I enjoyed. Was nothing new under the sun for me. But man, it was something alive in my heart. And it came out. At what point in age, I guess we think we have seen it all. We have pretty much seen it all. And we come to the point where Solomon said, you know, is there a new under the sun? Is there anything new under the sun? And probably the answer is, like someone said, well, probably not. Probably not. But even though nothing is really really be new in us, there is something in us. And as it says, Paul in 2 Timothy is in Italian, please forgive me. Okay, 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. When he tells to Timothy, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hand. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then in verse 9 says, we are called according to His purpose, not to our works. You know, and I read the scripture many times, and I always think, oh, okay, I need to encourage young people. I need to encourage young people in that. But you know, it's just the fact that Timothy was young is we are young in the Lord. Unless we got there to see God face to face, in which case you wouldn't be here, okay? But think about it. We all of us has a long way to go. A long way to go in the Lord. We are young in the Lord. And this scripture applies to us very much. Applies to me, I know that. Stir up the gift of God. I mean, that exhortation that we need to find in ourselves. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when He says, not according to your work, but according to His purpose. To His purpose. Stir up the gift, not according to your work, but according to His purpose. I mean, and I think the purpose of God in our life changes. Okay? The purpose is the vision that He gave us. I received something here last May. And on that, we will act in the next months. Which, to us, is a big challenge because as I look at the age group in my church, in our church, I mean, will mean that the two of us will have to go back to the mission field in the sense of doing investing in people heavily, do outreach heavily, you know. And I thought at one point, you know, we have put together a good group. We have nourished them. They are stable in God. Let's relax a little bit here. And then I came here, last May, and the old things, okay? Yeah, seriously. And it's a new challenge. according to His purpose. Not my works. Your purpose, God. You gave me a purpose, Lakshmi. Yes, you gave me a purpose. And I tell you, and I'm so excited now to go back and move according to His purpose. According to His purpose. And I tell you, I hope until I see Him face to face, which I must say was a quest, I'm not kidding, was a quest that really got myself on it years and years ago when I was in Pullman. Years and years ago when I was in Pullman. I remember one day I was praying. I was praying and, with my eyes closed, at one point I thought, yes, He is here. I opened my eyes with conviction, full conviction that I would have seen a face to face. No matter what, I knew. I opened my eyes. I didn't. I just started crying. I cried for 20 minutes. that's so bad. I want to see Him face to face, okay? But according to His purpose, okay? Well, in this verse, what He says in 2 Timothy 1:6-8, says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, and I must say, am I ashamed?
No.
I don't, probably none of us, the point we are in life, we are not ashamed to testimony about our Lord. But is that enough? Is that enough just not to be ashamed? I don't think so. I don't think so because when we are going to go looking at Ecclesiastes, let's remember, we're talking about Solomon, which he asked God for wisdom. Okay, actually, there was an expression that I like better, and in a version in English says, give me, doesn't say wisdom, says your understanding. God, give me your understanding, which means, God, make me see with your eyes.
Amen.
Okay, because I need to grasp what's around me with your eyes, not with mine. Because if I filter with mine, I will see. I will see. I want you to see. I want to see through you, okay? So, give me your understanding heart, okay, to govern your people well. You know, Solomon had a good desire before God's eyes, and He granted him that desire. And nevertheless, you know, we know very well between wife and concubine came up to 1,000, you know. And we kind of doubt that kind of wisdom a little bit, you know, without it, you know. Or and that's ache my heart, for his Egyptian wife built the temple,
right,
you know, to idols. But, see, is that the word of God true? Is that the word of God true?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, did he receive wisdom? Absolutely received wisdom. In fact, everybody else saw it. Everybody else, Queen of Sheba, oh, that's a man of wisdom. Everybody that saw, Solomon said, that's a man of wisdom. Because he had received. God is faithful. God is faithful. He gave us. God is faithful. He's always there. Okay, so he gave what he asked for it because he asked it with a good heart. In Ecclesiastes 2:15, I guess, he says, yet I myself perceive that the same event happened to them all. So I said in my heart, give me your understanding heart. So I said to my heart, as it happened to the fool, it had also happened to me. And why was I then more wise? Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. Solomon, like any of us that was not perfect, said, this also is vanity. The gift that God gave him. He called it vanity. Well, if we look at his life, we could say yes was vain. The gift that you received from God was vain. The gift of and on itself, it is vain. It's like you can sit on the counter. Okay? But it's when you take the gift that God gives you and you live it with a daily relationship with Him. With a heart, with a desire, with a burning passion to see that gift glorify God. Then becomes no vanity. I don't wanna call God's gift vain. I really don't. You know, I do not want call gift vain. I don't. And that's why I really press into Him, because I want His gift that He given to me, entrusted to me, and I hope, I pray, it's the same things for you, to glorify Him. And you know what? Honestly, I don't know you personally, so if you know something about your neighbor, but you know, seeing that you walk, when you have walked in the Lord for many years, that means somewhere, somehow, you're aware of that gift that He gave you. And I'm not talking about the great preacher, I'm talking about the things that He entrusted to you. The things, for instance, they entrusted to Jay, and Jay doesn't know about what I was looking at. But see, as he lived his life, and I trust that he's still living it now that way. As he lived his life, that gift that God deposited in him was not vain. Was not vain. I guarantee you. There is a offspring out of that seed.
Very good.
Okay? And let's remember that, because many times we are not aware. And so let's do not question what God has put in us. Let's not question the walk in it. The word is true. The word is true. God's Solomon saw his gift as futile, but it's because, as we saw it, he walked it out toward others, but did not live it in himself. Okay. I want to give what God has given me. And as we come to a certain age, and I think, you know, we don't have to be not even very high in age, realize after walking a certain number of years with the Lord, He has put some arrows in our quiver. We are not without, and I don't even want to call it weapon, but we are not without that which can shoot it out. We have it. And I, you know what my desire is now? As I walk with the Lord every day? To die with an empty quiver. You know, I want to shoot out everything that God has put in my life. I pray for you that you want to shoot out there everything that God has put in your life.
Very good.
You know, as I was asking myself, you know, what do I do when I retire? I don't know. Probably I will see God face to face. I don't know. Because I don't see it. You know, because He's faithful. The more I shoot out there, the more He put in it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, shooting out is a work of passion. It's a work of passion. And the more you're passionate about God, whoo! I keep feeling it. And I realize, and I tell you, not because of my skill, if I should operate in my skill, I'm such an insecure person that, you know, I would just close myself in the house. But it's not because of my skill, it's because the joy of seeing that He gives me something to give out.
Right on.
And if He puts it there, it is something precious. It's something that has to give out. That's why I'm excited about what He showed me last May. I mean, if He showed it to me, if the Holy Spirit told me, I want to shoot it. I want to hit the mark of His perfect will. I do want to do that. Okay, and in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, eukairos. Be instant in the specific time, okay? Be instant means just be there. be there when you have to be there. And then goes on in the verse and said, and be there even when you don't have to be there. Huh? What does it mean? It means be. Be. And the, there, the contest, God will spring it out of nowhere. Okay, so we need to be there in God. Be in God there. Okay? Be, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, akairos, when you should not be there, when should not be the time. Okay? Be. Are we in season? Are we out of season? Or sometimes we feel just seasoned, and that's it. Okay? No. We must be there. We must be there. And I really believe that if people waste their Sunday morning in church, it's because they want to be there.
You bet.
Not just because they need to do a check in their to-do list. I pray. I hope that's the way, and that's the way I believe it is, okay? And worship tells me a lot about that. If the worship fills the room, the people that are in there are there in season. Are there in season. For the time of worship, fine. But they are there in season. So be there and be there in season, okay? We need to know what God has given to us. There is a scripture that, beside those I quote by memory, in Italian or in English. Then when I will listen to, I will know if I use Italian or English. You know, but I pray that I quote it all in English. In Luke 24, there is that passage, the road to Emmaus. No, road to Emmaus. Emmaus. Oh, sorry, the pronunciation. We know the story, how it goes. The two disciples are talking to each other, and they're sad. They're sad because they feel like, gee, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. What we thought was new is gone. What we thought was new is gone, so there is nothing new under the sun. Well, I know they learned differently, because Jesus said to them, when he came to next to them, so they challenged him, saying, hey, haven't you heard what happened? And Jesus said to them in verse 25, chapter 24 of Luke, verse 25, then he, I wish I was there, then he said to them, oh, foolish one, is slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Can you imagine being there and Jesus just, I don't know, you can say rake you over the coal for that. Oh, foolish one, is slow of heart. I mean, I don't have any desire that he just at me. But man, if he's doing it, he wants to show me his purpose. And all of a sudden, I realize, goodness, he wants to show me something. And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, it's a strong passage, and says in verse 27, God says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture that, in all the scripture, the things concerning himself. Jesus come alongside of his disciple and expounded on all those things, okay? And we saw it. We see in verse 31 how their eyes opened. Then their eyes were open and they knew him. And he, poof, vanished from their sight. And all of a sudden in their heart, spring out something that was not new. Was not a new thing. Was not a new thing what they were talking about. Oh, that the new thing is not there anymore. No, it was there. Because as soon as Jesus spoke to them, the well just came forth. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he was talking with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? Did not our heart well within us? You know, God deposits, the moment he saves us, deposits something in our heart. We may not know. We may not be aware of what is specifically, but when he revealed to us, boom, we realize it. And we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice, truly. Let's rejoice in when we see. And I don't know, we have a funny way to measure success. We really do. I mean, in the world, it's just absurd, if you ask me. But that's my opinion. I'll keep it for myself, but I will tell everybody anyway. Okay? Sorry, but I really believe that the world has a funny concept of success. Okay? And I don't subscribe to that. And I got a good definition of success, and I carry it with me every day. Success is finding God's will and doing it.
That's right.
Success is finding God's will and doing it. You know, the opposite, in fact. You know what's the opposite? Opposite of success. What is it? Sin. if success is hitting God's will, okay, missing God's will, amartya, is missing the mark. It's sin. See, and the world has this funny concept of what success is. And most of the time they miss the mark with success. I am not saying that success does not equate, success in God does not equate with wealth or whatever. I'm just saying that the world has a very funny concept of what success is. Man, and those people find in their heart what God had put there. What God had put there and was not a new thing. Is there anything new under the sun? No. There is nothing new under the sun. But I tell you, it is not about if there is new, something new about the sun. It's not about the new. It's about the news. The good news. It's not about the new. It's about the news. Okay? The news. Jesus Christ saved us. His Son, His blood washed away our sin. That's the news. There is nothing new under the sun. But man, everything is anew, is renewed in the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. It's true, it's absolutely. But everything is renewed. It's fresh. It's alive. Becomes ergo, energizing in the sun. And again, I'm saying, and I'm sorry, I never get tired to talk about him, but you know, I'm looking forward to go on the next months, years. I don't know how long it would be. You know, like I say, unless I see him face to face and poof, okay, I will go on with that, which is my passion. There is something anew and fresh,
good,
renewed in the sun. And I want to leave you with that. Stir up the gift deposited in you. Stir up that gift deposited in you. He deposited there is something anew, renewed in him. By his grace, for his glory. Amen. Jesus, we thank you. Father, we are so very grateful. So very grateful that you have deposited in us. You have deposited in us a seed, a truckload of wealth, Lord, spiritual wealth. And we are so very grateful because, Lord, day by day you show us. You show us how to renew that which you have deposited in us. Lord, that may others around us may drink of that living water. May Lord, they may eat of that fruit that you bring forth in our life as we witness your great work, your purpose. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And now we walk in the newness in the Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for what you have deposited in my heart. I really appreciate it sincerely. God bless you.
Great job, Paolo. Wasn't it great having him with us again? And his bride, good to have you here. Love that. Shoot out everything God has given you. I want to die with an empty quiver. That was powerful. Absolutely powerful. Maybe nothing new under the sun, but everything is renewed in the sun. Great things to hold on to. Paolo, will you and Catherine come here, stand before us this morning and face the congregation, and those of you who are close by, will you come lay hands on them with me? And the rest of you, if you want to come on up, you can do so. We're going to send them back to Italy with the joy of the Lord, praying travel mercies and that the renewal of the Spirit of God is just great upon them. And as they go to serve the Lord, and we support them fully. Just extend your hands to them, would you? Father, we thank you for Paolo and Catherine. We thank you for their faithfulness to you. We thank you for the heart that burns deeply within them, the passion for Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for their hungry hearts to do your will and to give their lives away, to keep shooting out those arrows that you put in their quiver. Father, thank you for birthing a fresh vision and a fresh visitation for them, Lord, that they go back and birth something renewed and new in their congregation. Bless them as they travel with angels of protection all around them and the anointing of Jesus to be their portion. We bless them in the name of the Lord. You've told us in the Scripture, we'll see you when we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We thank you for having them come and bring us your life this morning. We bless him in Jesus' name. Bless him in Jesus' name. Let's give him a round of applause. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Come on up front. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you. And we trust that you've been blessed and refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Now, next Sunday morning, as we gather, after service is dismissed, I'll ask you to wait around for a few minutes. Those of you who contribute and give to the ministry will be bringing our annual report for what the Lord did in us and through us and to us in 2011. And we'll have a great time doing that. Would you stand with me as we close? Father, we thank you for being so great, so good to us. And we give you praise this morning. We lift you up and thank you for taking your liberty here in this place. Now bless each one as they go forth, that they might know the Spirit of God that strengthens, blesses, encourages, refreshes, and continues to give them life as they go from here out into the mission field. We thank you, Lord. Together again as a congregation, we pray, pour out revival, O God. Pour out revival. Bring multitudes to Jesus. And pack out every Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church with hungry people who want to grow and see Jesus face to face. Now bless each one, we pray, in Jesus' powerful name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be released.